qualifies you and I to make heaven our home, and that is the blood of Jesus that changes everything. Every time I preach about the blood, I'm reminded of a little old lady in St. George, Utah, in the church we pastored there. And I'd preach about the blood, and invariably, every time I would get done, she would come to me after the service and she'd say, "Pastor, I just love your preaching, but do you have to preach about the blood so much?" And I say, "Yes, I do. Because if it wasn't for the blood, we'd have no hope." I mean, the Old Testament, they I don't know how many animals died to yearly to redeem or to cover those sins, but I want to share with you a little passage this morning out of the book of Hebrews, because the blood of Jesus accomplished what no earthly sacrifice could ever accomplish. Religion can change your behavior, but only the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse your conscience and redeem your soul and reconcile you and I to God. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11. If you're there, if you'd stand for the reading of God's Word, please. If you can't stand, that's completely understandable. Hebrews chapter 9, starting in verse 11. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come. And the church said, amen. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come with the greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood. He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this reason, he is the mediator of the new covenant, by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions under the first covenant, that those who are called may receive the promise of the eternal inheritance. Father God, I thank you for this word. I thank you for this day. I thank you for your presence in this place. I thank you, Lord, that we can rejoice today knowing that we've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. That, Lord, we've been purged. That, Lord, that we have been washed and cleansed. Lord, though our sin be as scarlet, the blood of Jesus has made us white as snow. And for that, God, we are grateful. Lord, touch hearts and lives. Set captives free today by your word. And I thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. I want you to think just for a moment. Maybe close your eyes. I don't know what you have to do for an exercise like this, but I want you to just think and imagine for a moment standing before God. Standing before God with everything you've ever done laid out before you. Everything that you have done laid out. Not the Christian things that you've done, everything you've done. Every sin, every failure, every wrong thought, every word you wish you could take back, every secret thing that nobody else knows about. And then God asks this question. What are you going to do about your sin? What are you going to do about your sin? You might say, well, I'll try harder. How many of us have? I'm going to try harder. How about this? I'll be a better person. Maybe even I'll go to church. I'll give in the offering. I'll even do good things. But this passage in Hebrews tells us that none of those things will ever solve your deepest problem. None of those things will ever solve our deepest problem, because our deepest and greatest problem isn't that we need to become better people. Our greatest problem is that we're sinners in need of a Savior that need to be reconciled to a holy God. That's the bottom line, church. And that's why Jesus came. He came for messed up people just like us. Hebrews 9, our text, points us directly to the answer. But Christ came as high priest of the good things to come in verse 11. Notice the words, but Christ came. How many of you are grateful this morning that Christ came as in your life? Christ came and He set up shop on your heart. Man, where would we be without a Savior named Christ? Those may be some of the most beautiful words, and I believe they are, found in Scripture. We couldn't get to God. When we couldn't get to God, Christ came to us. Woo! Oh, I'm going to say something. Hooty-hoo! When we couldn't get to God, Christ came to us. When our sin separated us, Christ came. When our sacrifices weren't enough, Christ came. When we couldn't pay the price, guess what? Christ came. The devil's convinced so many of us that we're not worth the price. That's a lie from the pit of hell. You are worth it. He sent His Son to die for you and for me. That's what He came for. In verses 11 and 12, the writer of Hebrews contrasts the early tabernacle with something infinitely greater. The Old Testament priests entered the holy place, but Jesus entered the greater and more perfect tabernacle that has not been made with hands. Isn't that amazing? The earthly priest brought the blood of an animal, but Jesus brought His own blood. Whew. Just let that soak for just a moment. Verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all. That's the difference. Every year under the old covenant, over and over and over and over, they had to bring and lay it all out and bring sacrifice and do all those kinds of things. But when Jesus showed up, when Jesus gave His life, when Jesus paid the price, when Jesus put His blood over your mess and my mess, it was once for all. Man, that ought to make somebody else shout. Completely satisfied. The old covenant said another sacrifice is needed, but Jesus said it's finished. Doesn't make a difference what the devil says. I got news for you. It is finished. Woo! I'm going to get happy if you... I don't care. I'm going to get happy because I understand what is happening here. I've been redeemed and set free. I've been washed into... Do I still mess up? I do. Your pastor messes up. But at the end of the day, guess what? I've been washed in the blood. I'm redeemed. I've been sanctified. I've been set apart. I'm no longer who I used to be, and I'm working on doing who I be. Woo! I was speaking in tongues right there. Amen. Did you sign that?
I did.
That a girl. Woo! You got me messed up. Where am I? Oh, here we are. The Old Testament sacrifices had to be repeated over and over and over. Over and over and over. Christ's sacrifice was once for all. Imagine cutting yourself really, really bad and putting a Band-Aid over it to cover it up. The Band-Aid might cover the wound, but covering isn't the same as healing. Putting a brace around your brother's neck's not the same as God touching him and healing him. That, amen. I mean, that's what we're after. That's what we're after. That's what we're looking for. That's what God does. That's what the Old Testament sacrifices were doing in a sense. They pointed forward to the ultimate sacrifice. I'm reminded that when John the Baptist came, he didn't let people worship him. He pointed them to somebody else. He said, there's somebody coming after me. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoes, for crying out loud. I baptize you with water. He'll baptize you in the Holy Spirit. Woo! That's a whole different level. That's a whole different deal. What the Old Testament sacrifice did was point towards a better covenant. Jesus said it himself that he came and established a new and a better covenant. Why is it better? Well, it's better because it's an eternal covenant. It's a once for all covenant. It's a covenant that is established in the blood of Jesus, not in the blood of some cow or some bull or some lamb. The Son of God. Jesus didn't come merely to cover our sin. He came to deal with it. Hello. He came to deal with it. You can clean off the table. We clean these tables off here today at when our potluck's over. There's a difference between putting all the trash in the garbage or putting it down the sink through a garbage disposal and never seeing it again. It's kind of like what this sacrifice does. It didn't just cover it. He dealt with it. It was the blood that purchased my salvation and yours. Hebrews 9 and 12, having obtained eternal redemption. The word redemption carries with it the idea of being purchased or bought out of bondage. Hello? Out of bondage. We were slaves to sin. We couldn't purchase ourselves. We couldn't work our way out. We can't clean ourselves up enough. But Jesus showed up and paid the price. I'm reminded of Joseph. I'm reminded that he was thrown into a pit. They wanted to kill him. But instead, they just threw him in a pit and then sold him. Sold him. And he went to Potiphar's house ultimately. And he didn't do anything wrong. He did everything right, for that matter. And he still ended up back in prison. But God had a plan. God had a purpose for every bit of that. You're going to go through some things in your life. Young people, you're going to go through some things in your life, but don't get hacked off and mad at God, because God is going to bring you through. If you'll just lean on Him, if you'll just let Him, He will bring you through. I know that being a Christian, a godly young man, a godly young woman in today's culture is not a popular thing, but I'll tell you, I'd a lot rather stand before God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God any day of the week. You've been purchased out of bondage. We are slaves to sin. We couldn't purchase ourselves. We couldn't even work our way out. We can't even clean ourselves up enough. But Jesus paid the price. He paid the price. Can I just tell you this morning, He didn't make an installment. He didn't just put down a down payment on your life. He paid it in full. He paid it in full. I remember my mom and dad sitting at the table doing bills, and nothing made them happier than to write across an invoice, paid in full. Don't ever have to see that one again. Paid in full. Paid in full. Jesus paid the price. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18 and 19. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. See, the price of our redemption wasn't gold and silver or good works or even your church attendance or maybe even being baptized or in some form of religious tradition. The price was the blood of Jesus Christ, the only begotten of the Father. He so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever, listen, I don't care how bad you've been, or I don't care how good you've been. Because that's a problem. Try and share the gospel with somebody that's been really good. I don't need that. I've been a good person. I haven't messed up. I haven't stole. I haven't, you know, I don't drink and chew and smoke and all of that. You know, I don't do all that. I'm a good person. I don't care how good you are. You got to have Jesus. He is the way and the truth and the life. And nobody goes to the Father except through Jesus Christ. If you want to go to heaven, it's through this man. My Lord and my Savior. And I'll share Him with you. He's big enough to go around. The price was the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Nothing. You cannot add anything to the blood of Jesus. You can't add nothing. Nothing. Imagine a prisoner of being captured during the war. One of our soldiers being captured and held as a prisoner of war. He doesn't have the resources to buy his freedom. He can't negotiate his way out. He's a prisoner of war. He can't just simply walk through the door. Somebody outside has to pay the ransom. Yeah, there's a war going on in the spiritual. And those of us that are outside of Christ are spiritually prisoners of war. We're in a prison of the enemy. And the only one that can set us free is somebody from the outside. His name is Jesus. And He has to pay the ransom. And that's a picture of what redemption is. Jesus paid what you and I could never pay. Everything's reminding me of a song. He paid a debt He did not owe. I owed a debt I couldn't pay. I needed someone. I needed someone. You need somebody. The blood of Jesus does so much more than just forgive our actions. It cleanses our conscience. Look at Hebrews 9 and 13. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Woo. Look at verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Sin doesn't just leave a record before God. Sin leaves a burden on the inside of us. Sin leaves a burden on the inside of us. Some people walked into church this morning smiling, had a big old grin painted on their face, but they're carrying some enormous guilt maybe on the inside. Maybe some traumatic thing has happened during this week and they pasted it on. I'm going to fake it till I make it. People are like that all around the world. We encounter them all the time. We put this smile on, but down inside, I'm dying. I need Jesus. See, they've been forgiven by God, but sometimes we still live as though we have to punish ourselves for what I've done. No, you don't. He took your punishment. He took your punishment. Hear me this morning. All around the world, hear me this morning. He took your punishment. Sometimes we keep saying, could God forgive somebody, or God could forgive somebody else, but you know, you don't know what I've done. You don't know the mess that I'm in. I want you to know this morning, hear me, write it down. Go home and edit the video and put this snippet on your phone. The blood of Jesus is greater than your worst sin. The blood of Jesus is greater than your worst sin. Romans chapter 8 and verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. I'm in Christ Jesus. You're in Christ Jesus if you've accepted Him as your Lord and Savior. And because of that, you're not condemned. There's conviction. Don't misunderstand me. There's conviction. There's correction. But not condemnation. He does not condemn you. He convicts you to bring correction into your life. He does not condemn you. That's the gospel, church. Your past may explain you, but your past doesn't define you. I've let my past define me far too long. My past might tell my story, but it doesn't define who I am today. I'm a child of the Most High God. My name's written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. I've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. I've been filled to overflowing with the baptism of the Holy Ghost of Almighty God. I'm a worshiper. I'm a child of the King. I'm telling you right now, my greatest sin is no match to the blood of Jesus. Your past doesn't define you. Your failure may be a part of your story, but it doesn't have to be the ending of your story. No. Jesus cleanses our conscience, and it's an important part of the gospel that we sometimes miss. He didn't just save us from something. He saved us for something. He saved you for good works. He created you in Christ Jesus for what? For good works. Oh, are you saying that I'm good works? No. But I am saying that because He saved you, out of, if nothing else, mere gratitude for the reality that He saved you, you might ought to do something good for Him. He's wired you with things. Marion said it. This morning, they called me to come and cut a branch. To me, it's no big deal. I've been cutting branches for a long time. I've been cutting down trees for a long time. I've killed a lot of trees in my life. It's what I do. And I love doing it. But to them, it was a miracle. You know what? God has given me those kinds of giftings to use for His glory. And that's the bottom line. You understand that? God's wired you for good works. He's put in you some things that He wants you to use, maybe in somebody else's life, to be a blessing to them. Let Him do it. Let Him do it. He didn't just save you from something. He saved you for something. Look at the end of verse 14. To serve the living God. Whether you're cutting tree branches down, or whether you're scrubbing toilets, or whether you're taking a meal to somebody, whether you're picking up burnt up stuff at somebody's house, you don't even know who they are, but you just want to be a blessing to them and a blessing to God, that's what I'm talking about. You're serving the living God. That's what discipleship is. That's what transformation is. That's what purpose is. Jesus doesn't simply say your sins are forgiven, now go live ever however you want to. He says your sins are forgiven, now come follow me. Come follow me. Let me tell you something. If you follow Jesus, you won't be bored. You won't lack for something to do. The Christian life isn't, I have to serve God so He'll love me. That's not the gospel. It's God has loved me and redeemed me and forgiven me, and now I want to do something to serve Him. Verse 15 says, and for this reason, He's the mediator of the new covenant. The mediator is someone who stands between two parties to bring reconciliation. Do you know that God has given you and I the ministry of reconciliation? He sure enough has. Sin created separation between God and humanity, but Jesus stands between us and God. Woo! He's at the right hand of the Father. You know what He's doing? He's praying for you. He's making intercession. He's not just praying. He's interceding before God on your behalf and mine. Paul said this in 1 Timothy 2 and 5. For there is one God, and one mediator between God and men, the man, the man, Christ Jesus. He is the man. He is the King. He is the Almighty. Notice that it doesn't say that there are many mediators. He says there's one mediator. His name is Jesus. Not Jesus plus your works. Not Jesus plus some religion. Not Jesus plus all your human effort. Just Jesus. Just Jesus. Hebrews 9 and 15 says that Christ became the mediator, that those who are called may receive the promise of eternal inheritance. There's a calling involved. He has called you and I. He has called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light. He doesn't merely just want you and I to admire Him. Although He's worth admiring, He calls us to trust Him. Some of us don't trust Him. We trust Him to save us. We trust Him for salvation, but trust Him for tomorrow? Trust Him for my finances? Trust Him for my health? Trust Him. Trust Him. Trust Him. He calls us not only to trust Him, He calls us to follow Him. He calls you and I to receive His salvation. See, the question this morning, church, is not, is there enough blood? Because one drop of His blood will cleanse you. So that's not the question, is there enough? The question is, what am I going to do with Jesus? That's the question. What am I going to do with Jesus? See, His blood is sufficient. His sacrifice was complete. His redemption is eternal, and His forgiveness is available. The invitation has been extended, but you have to respond. This place is full of all kind of good food over here. And I know you wish I'd shut up so we could get into it. Just gonna have to wait, Alex. Just sitting over there, Glenda. You and Greg and Elizabeth, just sitting over there. It ain't doing you any good. Is it? Oh, a little bit. A little bit. Mm-hmm. You ain't sitting over here, preacher. You can sit there all day and it ain't gonna make you full. It's not gonna nourish you. You gotta get involved with those tables. Oh Lord. Mm-hmm. We gotta get involved. You have to respond to the call. Maybe you spent your whole life trying to clean yourself up. If I can just get cleaned up enough, I'll go to church and I'll accept Jesus. I got news for you. That ain't never going to happen. No, he's not. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Oh, hey. Give it up for the sound guys. Woo-hoo! Thank you, Jesus. Maybe you spent your whole life trying to clean yourself up. That's where I left off. Maybe you've tried religion. Religion won't save you. Maybe you've tried to be a good person. Maybe you've tried to forget your past. Whew. Maybe you've been carrying guilt for years and years, but let me remind you this morning that the book of Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that the blood of Christ can cleanse your conscience. You don't need another sacrifice. You don't need another religion. You don't need another attempt to make yourself good enough. What you need is Jesus. That's what you need. You need Jesus. John, 1 John 1:7, the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. Somebody say all sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin. So again, the question, I'm gonna drive this home. Kathy, you might as well just come and play something. Because I'm gonna drive this question home. Have you come to Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Have you come to Jesus? The question is not, are you religious? We're filled. This world is filled with the religious people. But it's not filled with people that have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You got to have a relationship. So it's not, are you religious? The question's not even, do you attend church? Do you attend church? The question's not, are you a good person? Because God, listen, as mean as this is going to sound, hell's going to be filled with good people. Hell's going to be filled with good people. But you got to be a redeemed person. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? You know, every time I look at you, ma'am, I think of my brother and my sister. My brother was taken from me and from our family when I was 3 years old. And I don't know his relationship with the Lord. I don't know. I don't know. I told her husband the other night at Music in the Park, I said, you know, I've never heard a foul word spoken about my brother Raymond. And her husband said, and you never will. You never will. Sharon, your brother and my brother was like this. You ever heard a bad word spoken about him? Which is an indication that my brother was a good guy. A good guy. But did he know God? I don't know. I don't know. Did he know the Lord? Am I going to see him one day in heaven? I don't know. I pray. I pray that he did. I do pray that. Because he is a good guy. The testimony of you folks. I remember visiting with your brother Danny through the years. They were good buddies. But did he know Jesus? Listen, church, you don't have to leave this place today wondering about Jesus. Have you placed your faith in Jesus Christ? I need to remind you that verse 12 says, once for all, he did it. Think about those three words. Jesus didn't, he doesn't have to die again. The sacrifice doesn't need to be repeated. The price has already been paid. The blood's been shed. The way has been opened. As believers, we are forgiven on the basis of the shed blood of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross. He was the perfect and the final sacrifice. There's no other need. He is sufficient for it all. He's sufficient for it all. His sacrifice was so perfect. It was so effective that it never needs to be repeated. Never again. When Christ cried from the cross, "It is finished," in John 19 and 30, he was saying, "The work is finished." He was saying, the payment has been finished. The sacrifice is finished. Redemption is finished. Redemption is available. And that's why Hebrews 9, 11 through 15 isn't merely a passage about the blood. It's a passage about a Savior who looked down through the corridors of time. The Bible said He's known me and you from before the foundations of the earth. Listen, that's a long time. That's longer than you've been alive, church. He's had a plan to redeem every one of you. He's seen every beer you've ever drank. He's seen every bottle of whiskey that you've chugged. He's seen every joint that you've smoked. He's seen every pill that you've taken. He's heard every lie that you've ever told. And He still loves you. He's still slap crazy about you. It's not just a passage about the blood. It's a passage that because of the blood, you have a hope in heaven. You have a hope in glory. There's a Savior named Jesus who shed His blood for you and for me. The blood of animals could never take away sin. It could only cover it. The blood of Christ can take it away. The old sacrifice had to be repeated, but Christ offered Himself once for all. Religion can change the outside, but only Jesus Christ can change your heart. Only Jesus can change your heart. And the blood of Jesus Christ can cleanse you completely. Remember the words that I said earlier, but Christ came. But Christ came. And because Christ came, there's hope for every sinner. There's forgiveness for every failure. There's salvation for everyone who comes to Him. He will not turn you away. Oh, preacher, you don't know what I've done. I don't care what you've done. I know what Jesus did, and that's what matters. I know what Jesus did. Because He came, there's hope for every one of us. There's forgiveness for every failure. And there's salvation for everyone who will come to Him. Remember that Jesus said this. While you and I were still His enemies, Christ died for us. Bow your heads with me this morning. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. It washes white as snow. Play that again. Eyes are closed. People are praying. Oh, the blood. Oh, the blood of Jesus. This morning, I just pray. I just got to ask this question. If you're here today, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ, if you're watching by way of the internet and this encompasses you, if you've never accepted Jesus because you felt like you've been too bad, can I just again this morning tell you the blood of Jesus is sufficient even for your worst sin? And if you'll just accept Jesus this morning, if you'll just raise your hand and say, Pastor, pray for me. I promise you, I guarantee you, the blood of Jesus will cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, Pastor, I accepted Jesus some time ago, but man, my life has just been a mess. And I've walked away, in so many words, I've walked away from the Lord. But today I really feel in my spirit like He's drawing me back to Him because He's not done with me. And I want to rededicate and I want to recommit my life to Jesus Christ. So if you've never accepted Him before, or if you want to recommit your life to Him today, I'm going to ask you to just slip your hand up. I want to pray with you. God wants to touch you. God wants to redeem you. God wants to do things in your life. Maybe you're watching by way of the internet. If you are, just put a little note on the comment thing there that your hands are raised and you want us to pray. Anybody in this place at all, say, Preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. Anybody at all, say, preacher, that's me. I need Jesus. There might be somebody online, I don't know, has their hand up, but if there is, I want to pray. So pray this prayer with me, church. Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that washes me white as snow. Forgive me, cleanse me, restore me. Write my name in bold letters in the Lamb's Book of Life and fill me with your Holy Spirit. Help me to walk with you all the days of my life, and I will give you my life and all the praise and all the glory for never giving up on me. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, God bless you. If you prayed that prayer, God forgives you. God restores you. God's redeemed you. Thanks for watching this morning by way of the internet. I wish you was here to enjoy this great meal with us today. We'll see you back here tonight at 6 o'clock. God bless you, and God go with you.